This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Early in the morning on Thursday, November 5th, Nordland General Store owners Tom and Sue Rose were awakened by an alarm ringing in the neighboring nearly 100-year-old building that serves as a kind of unofficial community center for Maristone Island. This week on the Compass, we visit with the Rose family at the beloved store in the aftermath of a mysterious fire that gutted the community institution as they contemplate the devastation and the store's uncertain future. So now, let's go inside the Compass. When I read the news Friday morning that fire had gutted Maristone Island's beloved Nordland General Store, my stomach clenched and I nearly choked on my coffee. I felt something like I did a few years ago when I read in the same newspaper that my friend Bob Boardman had been gored and killed by a mountain goat in Olympic National Park. Within minutes, I was on my way, recorder in hand, feeling compelled to go see for myself and to seek some reassurance that this time there might be some hope of resurrection. It was a crisp, clear autumn morning with a stiff breeze blowing, raising white caps on the water. My apprehension grew as I crossed the new bridge across the isthmus to Maristone Island and drew close to the idyllic hamlet at the heart of which the store is situated. So having imagined the worst, it was something of a relief to see the familiar bucolic building with its comfortable wooden porch looking relatively unscathed, apart from the bright yellow caution tape that cordoned off access. But I caught a glimpse of a fire inspector poking around at the back, and stepping out of my car, I was immediately hit by the sharp smell of damp charcoal. I approached a young man standing on the porch, who turned out to be the owners Tom and Sue Rose's son-in-law.
Hi, are you Tom?
No, I'm Tom's son-in-law.
Steve Evans, I'm the producer of KPTZ
Compass. How are you?
I read about it, the paper that comes out here, it's like a call to Tom.
Yeah. Let me see how he feels about that. Obviously pretty shaken up.
Yeah. Is that him there?
Yeah. Do you want to take a minute and chat please with the radio station?
Yes.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I just would like to hear, first of all, what happened. I mean, just sort of your blow by blow.
Oh, man. And basically, the alarm for the store went off at about 2:30, and Sue and I figured, there's a break-in or whatever, because it's for the burglar.
So it wasn't a fire alarm, it was a
burglar? No, we don't have a fire alarm, but it went off, so for some reason. And so we came down, and there was no car, and nothing looked like it was broken or in. So I was thinking about going in, and then we heard something, like somebody was inside. It must have been the fire. And so we walked back up the hill, to the top of the hill, and called 911. And as Sue was calling, smoke started coming out of the building. So then the fire department came, and that was it. It was just,
It was a relief to come here this morning and see the building, at least on the outside, looks okay, yeah. But no.
Yeah, you go inside, it's not gonna, I don't think there's any way of saving it, really. Maybe save the front of the building.
Would it be okay with you if I went in and took a look? We can just stand at the entrance if you want.
Okay. You can see how bad it is.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
It's gone. Everything's gone. It's just gone. All these, we had so many neat things in here and they're gone.
It was clear that the fire had swept through the interior of the building. Everything was blackened. A bit of sickly color struggled through on a rack of various kinds of chips all slumped together like exhausted soldiers. The roof beams were rippled with a gridwork of charcoal, like logs in an extinguished campfire.
Yeah, I don't understand. Santa's foot's gone. We used to have a... Did you ever see the Santa's foot? We used to have a Santa's foot.
Oh, yeah.
I had a pulley so I could pull it for the kids. The kids love it, you know, because it looked like he was
just getting out of here.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of planks in the ceiling are missing. Were those just knocked out by the firemen?
They were probably knocked out by the firefighters. But, it's just everywhere you look, it's everything's gone.
Well, I assume you have fire insurance, though, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just... everybody on the island is just... All they want to do is help, but there's nothing to do right now, you know, really. You know, it's hard.
Well, considering my own impulse to just rush right over here, I bet you've been having a lot of visitors.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes too many, but, you know, everybody wants to see you. You know, too bad we can't just show them the inside of the building to get it over with, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's my guess that there will be a great, like, upwelling of community interest in resurrecting this, because this is really the heart of Maristone right here.
I know, but I'm 70 years old. I don't know.
Has there been any talk of putting together like a GoFundMe campaign? Or
everybody, that's the first thing they say is everyone wants to do a GoFundMe, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I just tell people, give me a few days and, you know, soothe, you know, just to figure it out. But I don't know. Between the insurance company, you never know how you're going to make out, you know. There's never, it's kind of like Aldridge's. You can never reproduce it. It was one of a kind. The floors are still here, though.
The floors are here. Well, yeah. The floors are here, and, those beams up there are pretty charred looking, but, structurally.
We'd have to have an engineer come in and look around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the building's burnt, but, you know, the heart and soul is really Tom and Sue, you know, and they're still here, and that's all that matters.
Well, that's right, and I guess so. It's how you feel about it that matters probably the most.
Yeah, like I say, I'm 70 years old. I don't know if I want to do it again. I mean, I do for the community. I really, really like to do this for the community, though.
I think their kids are going to, you know, put together but they're also going to put together some crowdfunding and, you know, things like that. So
could you tell me your name again?
I'm Brian. I'm Tom's son-in-law.
So you're sort of one of the kids.
I'm definitely one of the kids. Yeah. For sure.
The kids, they're supposed to all be working, going to school. They dropped everything and came up yesterday. You know, it's good support. That's what families do.
It is. That's what families are for.
Yeah.
Well, so, and what's your feeling, Brian?
Just pure devastation, you know? I mean, I've been a part of the family for 15 plus years, lucky enough. And, you know, I think his two daughters obviously have been here from the start. And they're the ones that would have the most... heartfelt feelings about the whole thing. But I got to admit, you know, for me, it's really tough. And, you know, I'm sure I speak for the whole family. You know, the Rose family stretches from here to, you know, to Seattle, to Corvallis, Oregon. And, you know, there's people all over the Northwest that know this place and love this place. And it's devastating.
Well, yes, I'm among them. I have been out here on multiple like polar plunges, not plunging myself, but covering them for the radio station. And this is an iconic place.
It was actually one of the first things that I did to become part of the family was take a polar plunge. You know, it was Tom had mentioned, you know, you got to do that, and then we'll take you in as the family. So reluctantly, I did, and. It was well worth it for sure.
For those of you who may not know, the Polar Plunge is a mysteriously cherished annual ritual in which many dozens of hardy locals strip down and jump off the Nordland General Store's dock into the icy waters of Mystery Bay on New Year's Day.
So where do you live?
My wife and I, Megan, his oldest daughter, live down in Vancouver, Washington. And their youngest daughter, Becky, lives down in Corvallis, Oregon, with her husband, Zach. And between us, we have three daughters.
So none of the kids are actively involved in the store now?
No. We were kind of hoping, but
yeah,
it just didn't turn out. Yeah. These son-in-laws, you know, they take our kids away. And no,
yeah.
No. It's great. The kids love coming up here. You know, it's a good place for vacations and just, you know, the dock and the boats and everything.
So many memories, you know, for my kids being here. You know, it's heartbreaking for them. You know, talking about not, you know, the hot chocolate and the lattes and.
Yeah, the community is heartbroken.
Yeah. Well, I think you said it. It's the, you know, it's the heart of the island for sure. It's the social hub.
We will put a tree up for Christmas. I'll still do that. I don't know how we'll do it. We usually have a Christmas tree lighting ceremony, but with COVID, I mean, we're not going to be able to do that, I don't think. But we'll at least have the tree, you know.
People can drive by and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the dock didn't burn.
Oh, no.
So the plunge can still happen.
Plunge, well, that's COVID again, you know.
Oh, right.
No, it's just 2020. Let's get over 2020. It's terrible.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, Tom.
Yeah, people do not keep their social distance at the plunge. Well, it's a sad sight to behold.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I don't want the community coming in here and looking at it. And, you know, they don't need these kind of memories.
What did Campbell say to you last night? His granddaughter, my oldest daughter, you know, standing there brushing their teeth together last night, and she saw he was a little teary-eyed, and what'd she say? She said, it's still in your heart.
Yeah,
she's eight years old, you know? But it's true.
Yeah, people still have their memories, a lot of memories.
Yeah.
Well, I, for one, vote for it rising from the ashes.
I really do.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And at this point, obviously, you know, trying to figure out where to go from here for them is, you know, that's the hardest thing. How do you look at this and think about the future? That's tough.
Had you been eyeing retirement?
Sue's retiring in April, and I just figured I'd back down my hours, work 2 hours a week, a day, and just keep it going, you know. It's still a source of income, and we have one more payment on the place, which is great.
That's one more payment, one more monthly payment.
And then we own everything outright, which is unbelievable.
Well, that's a relief.
God, yeah. I don't know what we would have done.
How many employees do you have?
That's another thing, yeah. But we have Lisa is probably our main employee. She works more hours. And we have Elise and Patricia, and that's about it right now. Summer, we have more employees.
Had you looked at a succession strategy? If Sue is moving towards retirement in April, you must have been thinking something.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I would have, you know, I don't have weekends anymore. I used to work both days and the weekend, but so I don't have to work weekends, and I figured on just working from 8 to 10 every day, write orders, and just kind of keep things going.
Well, really, you come down and have your coffee and talk to your friends, and basically, you're retired, you know?
Basically, that's what I do. You know, I have a guy on the island, and every morning I come in at 8, and we talk for an hour. Maybe one or two people show up as customers. And then I do a couple things, and then I go home. You know, it's not that tough. But
pretty good retirement, really.
Yeah. And Sue would appreciate me not being there for a couple hours. Yeah, it's... We'll see. It's so early.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to do something, but I don't know what to do myself, so...
Well, I honestly think that that's something that me, that Becky and Megan and myself and Zach are going to try to spearhead and figure out a way to reach out and make sure everybody knows that it's appreciative and you know, we'll figure that out. And I'm sure something will be posted soon on Facebook and some type of social media and some type of crowdfunding. I can assure that. Us as the kids have talked about that for sure.
Well, you know, people, when they listen to these sorts of stories on the radio, they're always curious to know how they can become involved or help. I mean, because I know that this place is beloved, you know, far beyond this community.
Yeah, everybody has a little story.
You know
what's the story?
Something I just thought of, Tom, is what we can do, probably the easiest thing to do is just get on your website and just update the website.
I don't have a website anymore.
You know?
I don't think so. I kind of gave up on it.
We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
But it was northerngeneralstore.com, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You could figure it out, not me.
Yeah. I'll look into that. I'll look into that for sure. Yeah. And if it's something that is still available, we'll get it up and running, and that'll be an easy way for people to go to it and figure out, you know, what they can do to help.
So I understand Susie's next door was also affected to some extent.
Smoke. Yeah.
Just smoke damage.
Yeah, the fire didn't get back there, so.
But you can see even on the outside of the building, I mean, there's smoke damage even on the outside where it was kind of seeping out. I mean, the white paint is stained black, even on the far end of the building.
They said because there's no flames, the fire department said that the fire actually put itself out.
There was no flame?
We never saw. Did you ever see flames?
I saw them when they chopped the roof.
Yeah, when they opened the hole in the roof, that's the only time we had flames. Oh, I was going to check on that. Our scrapbooks.
Tom's eyes had suddenly widened, and he turned and walked with purpose into the black bowels of the building, soon returning with two thick scrapbooks stuffed with photos and newspaper clippings. Like everything, they were thickly smudged with soot, but inside, the contents were still legible.
Oh my God!
They might need. Oh my God! Look at this.
No.
A lot of these are still here, Sue. Look at this. The old pictures. We got some stuff. Oh, there's John.
Oh man.
Oh, some of it's left.
That's good.
I thought about that last night.
Yeah.
Scott?
He's in there.
Oh, he's inside?
Yeah.
Where were those? In your desk?
I'm finding them from AFI Global. I'm here for the insured down at Mystery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go. You can.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'll pull up.
Would you want to talk to their daughters? Is that something that they would probably have some pretty good things to share?
Sure, I would love to do that.
Okay. Let me go find out if they're comfortable with that, and I'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
Brian soon returned to say the daughters wanted to talk to me. As we walked up to the family home behind the store, I asked him how he got news of the fire.
Got a phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning from Sue, and as unusual as that is, it didn't seem that unusual, and you know, until I heard her voice, and then I knew something was up. And so Megan and I kind of put it on speakerphone and listened to what was going on. We can go in this way.
And did you just drop everything and come up here?
Oh yeah. Yep. It was one of those.
And what is everything? I mean, what would you have been doing otherwise?
Well, I have two girls. One's school age, the other one is preschool age, and we both work. So, but we're both lucky enough to be able to work from home.
What do you do?
I own my own graphic design company. Uh-huh. And Megan, my wife, is a she's an accountant. She works for a dental office conglomerate down in Vancouver. So, but yeah, you know, lucky enough to both work from home, so it's easy to, we can kind of work from anywhere. So we brought that with us too. You know, that's one of the nice things about being able to work remote is that you can work anywhere, but also you got to bring it with you. So, this is Megan. This is my wife, Megan.
Hi, Megan. Nice to meet you. I give you a virtual handshake.
Nice to meet you too.
Her sister is on her way too, Becky. Where is she hanging out with Clara?
Clara dumped her lunch.
Oh no. Oh, there she is.
On the new carpet.
Okay.
So anyway.
Well, it was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You ask them if they want us to go grab something for them for lunch.
Why don't we just do it?
Yeah.
So they don't have to answer any more questions.
That sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Take care.
So Brian was just telling me about, you know, like the phone call at 6 a.m. and getting the news, and so I gather you just sort of like dropped everything and came up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to, you know, get the girls all situated and get all that stuff done, and then we came on up yesterday, so, yeah.
Well, so Tom was, you know, sort of shaking his head and saying, I don't know, I don't see how we can, like, you know, go again and bring this back, but I don't know, what are your feelings about it?
I mean I think there's a lot of things that they have to think about, you know, as far as what is going to be the best thing for the island, what is the best thing for them, you know, they're getting close to retirement age and all of that, so, you know, is that what's the most realistic thing for them? So, but I know that they also know how important that the store is for the community. And, you know, I think, you know, my dad said last night, he's like, I can't imagine living here without the store. So.
How do you feel? I mean, you grew up here,
right?
I mean,
I can't imagine it without the store either. You know, driving in last night, one of the things that we always look at when we're pulling onto the island, we get to the top of the hill and it's like, okay, who's going to see the lights of the store first? And I was really worried that we wouldn't have that last night. So I was really glad to see the lights on the boathouse last night.
Hi, I'm Steve Evans from KPTZ Community Radio.
And I'm Becky. I'm Tom and Sue's daughter. Mm-hmm.
Right, well, so maybe we could get your story, too. So how did you get the news?
So my mom actually called yesterday morning. We live down in Corvallis, and we had a call at 5 in the morning. And right then, you know, something's wrong. And she told my husband, they called him, and said what happened. You know, they said that about 2:30 in the morning, they heard the alarm go off down at the store. And so they went down there together, and they heard what sounded like somebody like throwing boxes around the store. And so they called 911. And then as they were doing that, they saw like smoke coming up from the store. And they realized that the store was on fire. My parents really were thankful the person that they were speaking with kept them on the phone and made sure that they didn't try and go into the store, because it was just smoldering in there. If they opened the door, it would have been pretty terrible. So
I could blown up.
Yeah.
So I gather that you also dropped everything and just came up here.
Yeah, well, initially, you know, it sounded like it was pretty well contained to a part of the store. I was like, Mom, should we come down? She's like, no, you know, I think everything's fine. You know, you guys just stay put, go to work. And then around noon, my mom called back and she said, you know, it's probably going to be a total loss. So we did then drop everything, and we came as soon as we could.
Yeah.
What's hard about being far away from here is you can't just get here right away. And, you know, I just wanted to get here and hug my parents.
Yeah.
Well, I know there hasn't been much time yet to really sort of have a family confab, but I gathered that that's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know, are you going to sort of figure out a way forward together or?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, Megan and I haven't even seen the store yet. We haven't even been down there yet. No, they're doing the investigations and everything now, and we were going to wait until that's all been. So I think we're all just kind of still coping with the idea of what happened and the realization of what happened. We grew up there. That was my first job. And actually, that was the first place I was fired from, too.
Your parents fired you?
My dad fired me, yeah. Twice. Hey. Yeah. But just there's just so many amazing memories, and I'm just not ready to think about it not being there. And hopefully, you know, there's been so much support so far from the community, everybody asking, how can we help? And I think, you know, we're still just figuring out what needs to be done. And where we're at with everything.
Yeah, well, I know there are some pretty amazing carpenters and tradespeople and so on in this community, one of whom at one point I had a conversation with about collapsing barns in the area.
Oh, yeah.
And we had this, like, you know, little fantasy of forming what we would call the work party and just going around and saying, okay, we're here to fix your barn.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's that kind of spirit in this community.
Yeah.
I would bet you that there was an interest on the part of the family of having it put back together. You could get a lot of free help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the blessings of being in a community like this. And, you know, everybody wants to preserve our old structures and, you know, keep that. It's such a special place, and I think that the people coming together, just you realize how special it is. Yeah.
I mean, I just thank everybody that has reached out and continues to reach out and offer support and condolences. And I think somebody mentioned yesterday when my parents were talking yesterday about how it's not the loss of the store, it's the loss of, it's almost like the loss of a family member or a member of the community, and people were stopping by yesterday like it was a funeral. And so I know that it's not just a loss for the family, it's a loss for the whole community. And so...
Pretty tight, I can't pull it down.
Yeah, just think...
For the broader community, actually. I mean, you know, as soon as I read the paper, I live in Port Townsend, you know, this place is just iconic.
It's full of memory for everybody. I mean, anybody who's been there, it's like stepping back in time.
I can
and
cut it down here.
It's such a heartbreaking thing to happen.
With the Rose family at the burnt-out Nordland General Store, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.